Jobs' mood buoyed when he was able to have visitors from Apple. Tim Cook came down regularly and filled him in on the progress of new products. You could see him brighten every time the talk turned to Apple, Cook said. It was like the light turned on. He loved the company deeply, and he seemed to live for the prospect of returning. Details would energize him. When Cook described a new model of the iPhone, Jobs spent the next hour discussing not only what to call it, they agreed on iPhone 3GS, but also the size and font of the GS, including whether the letters should be capitalized, yes, and italicized, no. One day, Riley arranged a surprise after-hours visit to Sun's studio, the red brick shrine where Elvis, Johnny Cash, B.B. King, and many other rock and roll pioneers recorded. They were given a private tour and a history lecture by one of the young staffers who sat with Jobs on the cigarette-scarred bench that Jerry Lee Lewis used. Jobs was arguably the most influential person in the music industry at the time, but the kid didn't recognize him in his emaciated state. As they were leaving, Jobs told Riley, "That kid was really smart. We should hire him for iTunes." So Riley called Eddie Q, who flew the boy out to California for an interview, and ended up hiring him to help build the early R&B and rock and roll sections of iTunes. When Riley went back to see his friends at Sun Studio later, they said that it proved, as their slogan said, that your dreams can still come true at Sun Studio.